The World This Week, embassy takeover in Bogota and the U.S. rails.
This despicable and dishonorable act is another example of terrorist violence against accredited foreign diplomatic personnel.
New Hampshire losers see things differently. Kennedy, optimistically.
I think the momentum is now moving in our direction.
Bush, realistically.
It's never easy to lose, but that's politics.
And Hyden and friends at the White House stand up for their colleagues of summer.
The winter athletes in general just don't feel that a boycott is the right thing.
I'm David Jackson, CBS News, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The latest embassy siege to rock the diplomatic world began this week in Bogota, Colombia, where leftist guerrillas stormed the mission of the Dominican Republic and took hostage scores of diplomats. Correspondent Ed Rabel was covering.
About 20 of the terrorists, wearing jogging outfits, rushed the embassy in broad daylight and shot up a reception the ambassadors and diplomats were attending. At least three persons were wounded. The American ambassador was unharmed, but his bodyguard, a Colombian, was said to have been among those shot. In exchange for the freedom of their hostages, the gunmen demanded the release from Colombian jails of approximately 300 political prisoners and $50 million ransom.
As the siege wore on, the guerrillas freed the women and the wounded. Then, early this afternoon, six more captives were let go. The Colombian government reportedly offered the gunmen a plane and passage out of the country. The other hostage crisis in Iran dragged through its 17th week, with the special UN commission hearing testimony about alleged crimes of the Shah, but frustrated in attempts to carry out the second part of its mission, a visit with the American captives. The U.S. presidential race shifted into full gear this week. More on that after this.
If you're a smart investor who calls his own shots, listen carefully. This message is about making more money on your investments. 10 years ago, Source Securities, a member of the New York Stock Exchange, pioneered an idea that grew into a new industry, discount brokerage. Today, 13,000 customers save up to 75% on their brokerage commissions. They also earn premium interest on their cash balances awaiting reinvestment. One thing Source won't do is give you advice. This eliminates expensive salesmen and enables Source to concentrate on the two things you need most, low-cost commissions and quality service. At Source, you can place orders for every type of security in any market for any type of transaction. You'll get fast, accurate execution of your orders and safe, reliable custody of your account with securities protected up to $500,000. For more information, call toll-free in the continental U.S., 800-228-2200. That's 800-228-2200, except in Nebraska. Call now. Member SIPC.
The media converged on New England this week for the traditional kickoff of a presidential election year, the New Hampshire primaries. And as tradition has it, the 23 voters of Dixville Notch cast the first ballots Monday midnight. They were joined by many more in the hours that followed, as Reed Collins reports.
More than 250,000 votes were cast in New Hampshire's primaries, a record turnout preserving the high interest levels of Campaign 80. President Carter gave Senator Kennedy another 10-point whipping, but the senator headed into Massachusetts, where he's certain to fare better. The surprise was Ronald Reagan's margin over George Bush, better than 2-1. Reagan fired his campaign manager, John Sears, and announced he'd continue to campaign as he had in New Hampshire, person to person. Senator Dole collected little more than an asterisk in the voting column and all but dropped out of the race. John Anderson collected just shy of 10% of the vote, failing to overtake Senator Baker, who maintained his show position behind Reagan and Bush. Record amounts of money were dumped into New Hampshire as if the political gods were somehow trying to make up for the lack of the usual manna, snow. Reed Collins, CBS News.
24 years in the Senate is a long time indeed, but this week, 75-year-old Jacob Javits, the New York Republican, made it official. He'll try for six more years, despite Democratic and Republican challengers, and despite a neurological disorder which makes his walking difficult.
I have committed myself to make some decision now, and pursuant to that commitment, I declare that I am a candidate.
A look at the situation in Afghanistan when the World This Week continues in 1 minute.
They said it couldn't be written. The book that hit America like a runaway locomotive. The new consumer information catalog.
For the life of me, Foster, your obsession with that book escapes me. It's only a catalog.
The book that's helping America find a better way to live.
What do you find in that catalog?
Something you could never give me, Lillian.
More than 200 fact-filled federal publications listed inside.
Booklets on home and car repairs, weight control, keeping household records, and more. I read them all to be the man you want me to be.
That's a lot of reading.
The book you have to read from the Consumer Information Center of the U.S. government. The new Consumer Information Catalog. It's free. Just write to Free Catalog, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009.
That's Free Catalog, Pueblo, Colorado. 81009. Send for the book.
Don't wait for the movie.
The United States and the Soviet Union traded signals this week on Afghanistan, the Kremlin repeating its suggestion for some U.S.-Soviet guarantee of non-interference in the country. But State Department spokesman Hodding Carter shot back, there will be no deal without a Russian pullout.
If there were a withdrawal of Soviet forces from Afghanistan, the United States would be willing to join with the neighbors of Afghanistan in a guarantee of that country's true neutrality. It must be, of course, one acceptable in any case to the people of Afghanistan.
The people's general strike against the Soviets in Kabul appeared to wind down this week as the Russians cracked down. There were reports of mass arrests and executions of Afghans suspected of having had a hand in last week's anti-Soviet rioting in the capital. President Carter tightened another screw this week, banning exports of phosphoric acid to the Soviet Union. But when he had the U.S. Winter Olympic athletes to the White House for lunch, he found little support for his boycott of the Summer Games in Moscow. Speed skater Eric Heiden said most of the winter team signed a petition of protest. A major step in U.S. Middle East policy was taken this week at the U.N. Security Council as the United States went further than ever before to oppose Israel on the settlements issue. It joined the council in unanimous approval of a resolution calling for dismantling of all settlements built on Arab land occupied since the 67 war. The U.S. position stated by Ambassador Donald McHenry.
We regard settlements in the occupied territories as illegal under international law, and we consider them to be an obstacle to the successful outcome to the current negotiations, which are aimed at a comprehensive, a just and lasting peace in the Middle East.
Rhodesian blacks went to the polls for 3 days this week to pick a new majority-ruled parliament for the country that will be Zimbabwe. Britain Sir John Boynton, who ran voting, says all went well.
I think the poll itself, from all I hear, has been orderly, in many places good-humored, and in not quite the carnival atmosphere of the April 1979 election. Nevertheless, a very good-tempered and good-humored election in many, many places.
And observers from 11 Commonwealth nations agreed. They said the voting was fair. Results are expected Tuesday. There was a new nuclear scare this week at the Crystal River reactor north of Tampa, Florida. Some radioactive water spilled inside, but none escaped, and plant spokesman Brock Lucas gave an all clear.
The plant reached a cold shutdown state, and work is continuing on the removal of the water from the containment building. As it's removed, it's being treated and will be put back into the system.
The once flamboyant congressman from Pennsylvania, Daniel Flood, now quieted with age, went to court this week, pleading guilty to a misdemeanor conspiracy charge to avoid a new trial on several counts of receiving payoffs while in office. He accepted the bargain reluctantly, he said, for the good of his health.
I deny with all my heart that I have committed any criminal offense.
The judge sentenced him to a year's probation. The World This Week, produced by Jay Jones. I'm David Jackson, CBS News.